in Memphis, and welcome to Storyboard 30. This is the show taken right out of the pages of Storyboard Memphis, the nonprofit publication that brings you arts, community, and culture in one place. This is your host, Mark Fleischer. We are once again recording this show today in Zoom. We are still in the middle of a pandemic, in case you hadn't heard. My guest today, he is an architect and urban designer. He's a friend of the show. He works for Architecture Inc., or ARC Inc., as they are called. He's one of my go-to folks when it comes to questions about urban planning, about design, about architecture, about downtown. Chooch Pickard, welcome back to Storyboard 30.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, today we really just want to kind of talk about, you know, what's going on in the city. Obviously, we're recording this in the middle, or actually the beginning of July, so we're still in the middle of the pandemic. We were just looking at the news about, you know, the city is issuing some further restrictions, kind of going back to where we were with phase one, in terms of restricting restaurants from being open as much as some of them have been. So my first question to you, Chooch, would be, you know, in the development world, in architecture, in city development, in planning, how's business?
You know, we're busy right now. I'll tell you, even at the beginning of the shutdown, I actually probably wrote more proposals for projects than I had in 1 month compared to, you know, the previous 3 to 4 or 5 months. So we really haven't seen a huge slowdown. We did see some clients kind of hold on to their money the first month and a half. That was a little bit rough for a small firm like ours. But, you know, we got our PPP loan and finishing up spending that money now to stay afloat. But we're busy and things are happening. I'd say the biggest fear is if there is another major shutdown, or you know, there's rumblings that a lot of the spikes in cases are in the Latino community. And, you know, anybody knows that our construction sites in the city are full of Hispanic people. And that's my biggest fear is, you know, we haven't had any construction projects stop at all. But both mayors were really good at keeping that as an essential business, unlike New York, that shut down all construction for months. We were able to keep it going. And my business parallels the construction industry. You shut that down and then everybody stops and waits before kicking any projects off, because they don't want to have to stop in the middle of it. So we're optimistic, but cautiously optimistic, because I have a little bit of a fear that if there are some outbreaks on job sites, that they could start shutting things down.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, driving around town, we still have, I mean, quite a lot of construction going on. You know, the high-profile ones, of course, One Beale. Union Row has not started breaking ground yet, but the work on the convention center still continues. Wiseacre, their new location downtown. So speaking of the new construction, the new developments, the work that your team is doing, as we look not just at the pandemic shutdown and the possibility, you know, that hopefully not, but that construction could slow down. What kind of effect do you think this has on future occupancy of all these new developments? You know, especially as we were talking about before the show started, about retail, commercial, and office space.
Well, I think the first obvious one that I think is going to be affected for quite some time is office space. I think it's interesting that employers and employees are realizing that a lot of work can be done from home. That was a little bit of a eye-opener for me. I worked from home for about 2 months, and this whole thing started while we were getting settled into our new office that we've invested a really large amount of money in. And so when I realized how easy it was to work from home, that was a little bit scary that we had invested that and you know, very shortly, you know, thought, oh my God, do we even need this office? And, you know, I believe we really do. I think it's an impressive space that my clients are are going to enjoy, and I really enjoy working in it. I've preferred to be there than be at home. But you know, I've heard that ServiceMaster is going to be 100% at home for the rest of the year. And that they decided that a couple months ago. That isn't even a new thing. So I think it'll be interesting to see how many businesses come back. What's the, you know, are they going to come back? I don't think they'll come back at 100%, you know, working in the office. Is it going to be 50? Is it going to be 75? I don't think we know, but I think, hey, they're on two floors, but guess what? We're going to renegotiate the lease down to one. Mm-hmm. So I think the office market will be hit the hardest. You know, we're working on an office project right now with the Downtown Memphis Commission. They're renovating their upstairs. There's going to be four boutique office spaces, a little less than 1,500 square feet each, plus a floor that's a shared conference space. And I'm after talking to some realtors, I'm optimistic that that project will still go and still work. They believe that office spaces that size are very desirable. I think our model's good. We'll see. We're working on design development as we speak and see.
Do you think that this is temporary, though, that with the pandemic and so many people working from home, you know, already we're seeing so many people that are essentially have work from home fatigue with having to balance or juggle so many work life type things with kids at home, you know, claustrophobia, if you want to call it that. How temporary do you think that's going to be? I mean,
well, you know, I think it's going to get, I think it'll be back to 75 to 90%. Mm-hmm. I've heard just as many people out there that love working from home that as there are people that can't wait to get back. So, and I find it interesting that some people feel more productive at home and some people feel more productive at work. It depends on who you are and who's keeping an eye on you. I think it seems to me that some employers are keeping a closer eye on what their employees are doing because they're not at work, that they're having to prove their productivity. And so they may be more productive if they have that kind of environment. But you know, I also know people that can't get anything done because they're, you know, they have the kids and the dogs and, you know, everything else going on. So I think it'll be interesting to see, but I think there'll be a percentage of people that will continue to work from home because they just enjoy it and enjoy that flexibility, you know, if they've proven to be trustworthy.
Yeah.
I think it'll happen. So I think we are going to see a dip in that piece of it.
Yeah. Now, speaking of office space, you mentioned moving into your new space there. For listeners who are fans of old downtown, describe the space you all moved into, the address and the space itself.
So we are at 109 North Main Street, Suite 200. It is in the old Claridge, the Claridge House condominium building that was originally Hotel Claridge, built in the early 20s. We found the space. It's about 1,900 square feet on the second floor, and it had drop acoustic ceilings in there and horrible beige paint and 10 small offices. And when we went to look at it the first time, I realized that the space actually had been part of the original ballroom to the hotel. And so I popped up the ceilings and found out I had 24-foot tall ceilings in the majority of the space. Mm-hmm. After we purchased it, we discovered it had the original terrazzo floors in that space as well. So we've gutted all the offices, torn out all the ceilings, torn out basically everything that was in there, and built a large studio space, small reception, and medium-sized conference room out of it all. And we're pretty excited to be in there. It's a pretty unique space, unlike anything anyone else has in the building or anywhere downtown.
Yeah. You've got a second floor view, the big arched windows of 100 North Main is right across the street.
Yeah, and so my view from my desk is 100 North Main and the Downtown Memphis Commission building at 114 North Main across from City Hall. And so I get to see everything going on. And our rooftop deck overlooks Civic Plaza and the river. And so we've been able to see what's going on there with the progress of the Lowe's Hotel and the Convention Center from up there. I think they're going to break ground on Lowe's pretty soon.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, this is where I tend to think, and I hope I'm right, I tend to think that once we get, you know, we don't even know about a second wave of the pandemic yet. But once we get to a certain point in a year and a half, whatever it might be, that people will be so anxious to get back out there that we'll have some kind of return to normalcy. And we can start to explore all those spaces that we've been missing for, you know, by that point, it would have been a couple of years, perhaps, to, you know, hang out on rooftops and watch the sunset from, you know, from the tops of 20-story buildings, you know, I hope.
I think so.
I think,
you know, my fear with downtown, you know, we've always struggled with retail on the ground floor. And I know it's a struggle that landlords are having right now with, do you give your tenant a break on rent because the business is closed down or they're, you know, they're at 50% or less capacity if it's a restaurant. And, you know, I question the wisdom to demand that rent and kick someone out when who's going to go in right now? You know, we're going to lose, I think, at least 25% of our restaurants in the city at the end of this. And, you know, who's going to want to start a new restaurant, you know, right now? So do you help them stay afloat so that in 3, 4, 6 months they can be a viable tenant? Whereas if you kick them out now, you may not have anyone in there for another year or two. So
yeah.
I think that's my biggest fear with commercial space. And, you know, it's tough on Main Street down there on a normal time. So I tell you, being back downtown at the office most of the time now, it's dead down there on Main Street. There are very few people working downtown. So a lot of the restaurants aren't open that were. They're just still temporarily closed down. And the ones that are open are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of an empty downtown, you know, last year, we as a city passed the Memphis 3.0 comprehensive plan, the new plan. And part of the plan, of course, was a push for higher density. And, you know, the pandemic obviously is quite the opposite of high density. We want a social distance. Do you feel like the pandemic has kind of set Memphis 3.0 on its ear, or are there parts of the plan that are still completely critical to our future as a city?
I think it's all will remain to be critical. I think things are at a pause right now. I don't think that, I certainly hope Memphis doesn't, you know, take too many steps backward on it. I hope we just pause a little bit, because I think in the end of the day, the larger cities will be forced to figure it out before we do, because they don't have a choice, you know. So, you know, if we put a pause on it and we take our lead from other cities and how they're dealing with it, and, you know, once we have, you know, antivirals and vaccines, you know, I think we'll be a little more sure of where the future is. But I think it's just a pause. We know that this city is not sustainable spread out and with the lack of density that it has. I mean, we've been struggling for decades with that very problem. So there's no way to continue with the status quo. We've got to move forward with more density. And I think it's an opportunity that, you know, we're never going to be as dense as a lot of major cities in the U.S. So we may still, even moving forward with more density, are going to be less dense than places like New York and Chicago and L.A. So I think we'll increasingly become a more desirable place to live. I think when Nashville started kind of getting overpriced a couple of years ago, we saw a lot of millennials moving here and a lot of businesses wanting to be here. And if you think of, again, if more people are going to be able to work from anywhere in the country, why not live in a place like Memphis with the amenities we have and be centrally located and pretty relatively cheap to inexpensive to live in. So I think we're going to see growth. I do.
Yeah. Speaking of all that, you know, I was thinking about developments and the, you know, part of the 3.0 plan, of course, is to address housing and access to housing. And I say access in terms of transportation to and from, so that people, you know, don't have to take a bus an hour and a half to get to a job, but rather, you know, their housing situation is such that they can, you know, either walk or get to places a lot easier. So, but generally speaking, housing is not going to go away. The fact that we still, and I think a lot of Memphians wonder how this is possible, but we still are in a bit of a housing shortage. And the pandemic is, you know, is going to exacerbate that. We're, you know, seeing, you know, thousands of people, you know, potentially facing some evictions right now. So I know that that is part of really what is a complex formula when it comes to development between housing and mixed use. And I'm totally going off on a tangent here, but I mentioned that because some of your developments are addressing some of these complex formulas between housing and retail and commercial. Overton Flats was one we mentioned before the show. Another one that you're working on is up in Fraser. So one of the questions I have around all that is, are you seeing in your firm the need for more and more housing and or renovating properties so that there is more housing? You know, so we mentioned that your development up in Fraser, for example, with the Works.
Yeah, so we're working with the Works and ComCap Partners on renovating a 1970s era complex of 14 apartment buildings that had been vacant about a year when we first got started and went in and started cleaning them up. But they were really, really rough shape. And this is going to be low-income housing right by Fraser Elementary School. So there's a push in that area right now to provide better housing for children and healthier living environments so that they can kind of test to see if that helps with the education issues we're having in that community. Mm-hmm. But it's there's definitely a need for affordable housing in that area. So that's an exciting project that it was really rough. I mean, I even questioned when we first started it why we were saving these buildings. As a preservation architect, it's rare that I say, let's tear it down. But boy, these were really ugly 1970s buildings, and I'm actually pretty happy with how they're looking now. They've been fixed up. I mean, they were just filled with termite damage and ready to fall down when we got them, and they're looking good. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Overton Flats. That's a project that we designed to have live-work units on the ground floor so that they can be flexible, so that that developer can either rent them all out as apartments or, you know, when the market sees fit, he can have small businesses on the ground floor, either office or small retail that works with that. So I think in the core of the city, we're going to see more of that kind of flexibility is going to be necessary. I think it's important to be able to have retail and commercial on the ground floor, but right now it's tough. We're used to parking in front of everywhere we go, and it's going to take a long time to get over that trend. I'll tell you what, you know, I was working with a developer who was actually looking at purchasing a building out near Methodist South, about a block from the hospital, and they thought they're both from out of town. One's from New York, and the other one's from Nashville, and they were trying to look at the numbers and see if it would work. And it was really interesting because it's a really cool mid-century building that I'd love to renovate. But I said, guys, I don't think you can afford to make this work. You're not guaranteed that people that work at Methodist South need a place that's a block away. It's too easy to drive and get around in Memphis. They have such skewed views on commuting because they're from New York and Nashville. Well, if you can get anywhere in Memphis in 20 to 30 minutes, you know, you can live in Midtown where you can walk to your favorite restaurant or bars at night and drive 20 minutes at max, probably 15 minutes down there. That's nothing. So why would I want to live in an area that I can't enjoy myself at night and have those other amenities. So, mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, you know, that we're different from other cities, and it's going to take us a lot longer till we have the need for living where we work necessarily.
Yeah. I do find it interesting because, you know, the whole live work concept at Overton Flats, I will tell you right now, I'm sure people listening would go, I would love to have a space like that right now where I live the second floor and I just come right back right down to my little office or whatever I might be doing.
Well, they're actually designed so you have a bedroom in that ground floor unit, and the living room in the front can be flexible. And gotcha. So you actually could live and work in the same unit. They're not just an either or.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Speaking of mixed use and, you know, density, driving distances, we have an interesting new proposal out there at Poplar Plaza, which is not going to be just mixed use, but a whole new concept out there to build apartments on top of the existing retail. What do you think about that development or proposal? We should mention it's proposed.
I think it has a lot of potential because it's so centrally located between, you know, in a good, the demographics around it are good. You know, we struggle downtown with demographics and getting good retail downtown because we're on the river, and the way national retailers look at it, you go a quarter mile, half mile, 1 mile out. Well, we're a circle cut in half because of the river and the floodplain. So that already cuts our numbers down drastically, you know, in addition to not being as dense as we could be. And then there's a lot of poverty surrounding downtown. So if you think of an area like Poplar Plaza, where you've got the university so close and you've got some really high dollar homes directly across the street in Red Acres. And, you know, just that whole, you know, Chickasaw Gardens is a stone's throw away.
You also have the Highland Strip is right up there. You're within a, you know, 5 minute Uber ride to Highland.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think adding more residential to that area is good. It'll be interesting to see how they park it and how people will drive there from near East Memphis. And it can't, you know, if you're that retailer that's going to be on that corner, how are people getting in there? Are you only relying on the people upstairs? I think it could easily fare better than the Citizen has right now. I mean, I'm not sure what their occupancy rate is, but that's a difficult commercial spot on the ground floor. There's not a lot of parking around there. Whereas if Poplar and Highland is designed well, I mean, they'll have to provide the parking for it. It make people feel comfortable to walk either around the building or just a short ways to get to whatever those retail spots are.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for it.
Yeah. Oftentimes when we're talking with, I'm talking about from the community standpoint, talking with developers, and we, you know, a lot of those that are aware in the community, when we start looking at new proposed developments, are always advocating for mixed use. So that means retail on the bottom floors and then, you know, living spaces up on top. How difficult is it now? And does the pandemic make it even more difficult, if not impossible, for the current models to work in continuing to push for retail on the ground floors? Is that model gone? Does that model look different? What do you think?
Again, I think there's just that we have to look at this as a pause. I don't think long term the challenge is any going to be any worse, other than, as I mentioned, I think we're going to lose some restaurants and retail over this. So we're going to have more vacancies. So that does make it harder, and it certainly slows things down. But we already had challenges to that we're trying to overcome. And you know, I kind of mentioned it when I talked about the Methodist South thing. And again, this is talking about people who are privileged enough to have a car. But those of us, and a good number of us are in Memphis, when it's easier to drive somewhere than it is to walk or take a bike or take a bus, we're I don't know how we get over that hump, because we have to provide parking for the people that demand it. We can't just assume, you know, I think you're shooting yourself in the foot if you don't provide it. So it is a major design issue, and every project's a little bit different on how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of parking in Overton Square, so it's a little easier to do that, something like that there, as opposed to, you know, you look at Madison and McLean, the Mikowski-Ringel project has very little retail on the ground floor. When they were designing it, they're like, hey, where are we going to park it? We need this many spaces just for the apartments. There's already vacancies across the street. We, you know, we can't add to that right now. And so I wish they had designed it so there's a little more flexibility, that you had the opportunity to expand that commercial use in the future, which, you know, 10, 15 years, hopefully we are a little closer to that kind of thing. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's an interesting challenge. And I think every project is unique and has its own challenges and opportunities. But I don't look at this the pandemic as a long-term negative influence on our development in this city. I think we're at a nice, slow, steady pace. We, you know, just like the last recession, we really didn't get hurt. We, you know, there wasn't a lot of new development going on, but we didn't lose property values like other cities did, not nearly as much, because we hadn't spiked the way other cities had. So we're kind of slow and steady, and that works for us in this situation and against us in others, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one of the things I so enjoy about our conversations is when we talk about old properties, old structures. And I didn't ask you about this before the show, but I'm going to ask you right now. We have a mutual friend who used to own the Nylon Net building. So we're talking about Seven Vance, number Seven Vance, which is down there, Vance and Front Street in the Warehouse District. You have been, you've been in that building. Yeah, and the Carlyle Group recently released some, what looks like to be very tentative plans to turn the Nylon Net building into mixed use. Without commenting on, you know, like without getting into your personal opinion about the plan, what do you think about the idea of, you know, renovating that building?
I've always thought it'd be a great building to renovate. I've always wanted to. I did some preliminary plans for it. It's probably a little more than 20 years ago. Actually, it was the first time I was in that building, and mm-hmm. it has some structural issues, but certainly not any worse than other buildings I've renovated. I haven't looked that closely at their designs. I know I think they're planning on taking part of it down, probably the part that's worse, and building new and doing some renovations. So I haven't had any personal conversations with Chance about that. You know, we're helping him with some of the other historic structures on that property. But I believe he went to the architect that is doing the rest of the residential for him for mm-hmm. those designs. So I haven't had an opportunity to look too closely at it. But I think I've always thought it'd be the perfect building for more residential and more density in that area.
Yeah.
And I think once he opens up a lot of these places, I mean, it's already been booming down there with Gray Canary and Barware, and I mean, it's amazing to go down there. And you know, I take rideshare most of the time when I go down to that area, if I've been drinking anyway. But even if I didn't, I don't know where I'd park these days. So,
yeah, that area is definitely booming, and it's you know, pandemic or no pandemic, as soon as One Beale and that entire development is finished, it's going to be something. Chooch Pickard. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. We've said this before, we should do this about once a quarter at least, or maybe once every few months, and just kind of check in to see what's going on downtown and see where your current developments are. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me again.
To find out more about Architecture Inc. or ARC Inc., you can go to their website at arcincmemphis.com. That's ARCHINCMemphis.com. There you can find out more about the partners at ARC Inc., what they do, and also their current projects. Thanks, as always, to producer Vance Durbin and to WYPL broadcast manager Tommy Warren, to WYPL and the Memphis Public Libraries for their support, and to you listeners and supporters of the library and FM 89.3. We hope you join us next time on Storyboard 30 for more conversation with those Memphis personalities and shapers who make our lives here in the Bluff City just a little bit better. Memphis, make it a great week, and please stay safe out there.